From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This, from Boston. Police departments nationwide are facing pressure to reform, and some experts say one way to address toxic work cultures is to bring in an outsider as chief. But what happens when local policies prevent that?
The Massachusetts House of Representatives Office sends sincerest congratulations to Chief David Callahan.
Dave Callahan is well-suited to be both an agent of change and a pillar of the heritage of the men and women who devote their lives to the preservation of peace.
That's former House Speaker Robert DeLeo and current Revere Mayor Brian Arrigo introducing a new Revere police chief chosen from among the ranks in 2020. Internal hiring is a common practice in Massachusetts and one that's often required by local ordinances and state policies. An investigation by WBUR and ProPublica shows why this can be problematic. And WBUR Shannon Dooling is with us now to talk about how this all played out in Revere. Hey, Shannon, how you doing?
Hey, Darryl. I'm doing well. Nice to see you.
Yeah, you too. So this story here covers a lot of ground, but you really introduced this idea of internal hiring mandates for police chiefs by drilling down into the city of Revere. So what's going on there?
Sure. So we focused on Revere after getting a tip from our newsroom colleague, Yasmin Ammer. She actually got an email, I believe, from somebody who raised her awareness about these harassment allegations that had been filed against the current Revere police chief, David Callahan. And so we reviewed these documents, and it showed that in 2017, a patrolman complained to his superior officers. He was saying that for several years, he'd been the target of bullying and harassment, sometimes things that were like of a sexual nature, just really inappropriate workplace stuff. And he said that it was coming at the hands of Callahan, who was then a lieutenant. The complaint stated that the officer actually sought mental health therapy because of the harassment, and the allegations made their way all the way up to the attention of Revere Mayor Brian Arrigo, who entered into a settlement with the officer after finding the complaints were credible. Now, it's important, Darryl, to note here that Callahan, for his part, disputes the allegations. He says he wasn't even told about the complaint until almost a year after it was filed. But during an interview with Callahan, he did acknowledge a separate incident, admitting he sent a sexually explicit image to another officer, also before he became chief.
Oof. It was years ago, and it was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened, and I owned up to it, and it'll never happen again.
And Darryl, the mayor still appointed Callahan chief 3 years after settling the harassment complaint, and we really wanted to know why.
So the mayor wasn't allowed to bring in a new chief from another city or state, even if he thought that person was better qualified and more equipped to change the culture.
Right, exactly. So since 2001, Revere has had this city ordinance on the books that requires the city's police chief be chosen from among the ranks. I spoke with the former mayor of Revere, Thomas Ambrosino. He actually oversaw that change back in 2001. For Ambrosino, more than 20 years ago, his issue was that he had to hire the department's top performer on the state civil service exam. He wanted to change that. He wanted more flexibility. But the city council in Revere pushed back. And Ambrosino recalls that the council wanted to please the police unions, basically, by making sure that the chief continued to be hired from inside. So Ambrosino says he agreed, but the result was a policy that hamstrings officials.
As a chief executive, you want to have maximum flexibility, and you would want to have the ability to go outside the department if you felt you didn't have a really strong qualified candidate within the department.
I mean, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me for any job, right?
Right, exactly. So Ambrosino says, looking back today, he doesn't think it's a good policy. And actually, the state legislature grappled with this same question when it comes to choosing the colonel who heads up the state police. That position previously was also promoted from within the ranks until the legislature changed the policy in 2020. That followed the overtime pay scam where troopers were getting paid for hours they never worked. And in 2017, Mayor Arrigo actually did try to change the ordinance in Revere to give himself some more flexibility, but the city council didn't budge.
And these hiring mandates exist elsewhere in the state, not just Revere, right?
That's right. So we found that to be really interesting. Like Waltham has a similar ordinance that says the mayor must appoint an internal candidate. A few of those internal promotions have actually ended with chiefs who've become embroiled in some pretty serious controversies. Like in 2008, former Waltham Police Chief Edward Drew was fined $1,000 by the State Ethics Commission when he tried to influence his daughter's hiring into a position on the force. We reached out to Drew. He didn't respond to our requests for comment. And the next chief who replaced Drew, Thomas LaCroix, he resigned after being found guilty of assaulting his wife. He died the following year. But just like in Revere, Waltham's mayor, Jeanette McCarthy, tried to broaden the selection process to external candidates, tried to give herself some more flexibility. That measure was tabled by the city council there, and it hasn't been brought up since.
Now, what about the more than 60 towns and cities in Massachusetts that follow state civil service commission rules when it comes to choosing a chief? What did you find there?
Right. So this was super interesting, I thought. When a municipality covers the chief's position with civil service rules, that means a candidate is selected from within a department, so an internal hire, but it's based on exam scores. So the highest scorer usually is the person who's tapped for the job, unless the city specifically requests a statewide search for that position. But that hardly ever happens. Our reporting shows that of the 32 civil service appointments for police chiefs within the last 5 years, all of them have been internal promotions, and none of the municipalities even considered outside candidates. We spoke with Carl Takei, a staff attorney who studies police practices with the ACLU. He says limiting the search process to internal hires for chief can be really damaging, especially when a department's culture is already tainted.
Casting a wider net means that you just have a better chance of getting a police chief in who is not going to be tied down by existing relationships within the department, that is going to actually be able to be a change agent.
Yeah, once again, that makes a lot of sense. You know, if you want to change the department, you have to be able to look outside of the department. But anyways, Shannon, what's next for this story?
Right. Well, we'll follow up to get reaction from city councilors, both in Revere and Waltham, really see if the reporting might spark new conversations around changing the internal hiring mandates in Revere and elsewhere.
Understood. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for coming through and talking to us about this. We're going to take a quick break, but I want to talk with you a little bit more. You got some time to stick around?
I do. Let's do it.
Now, Shannon, you mentioned this all started with a tip from another WBUR reporter. I'm curious, you know, what happens next? You get this information and then what?
Right. So it's kind of like Christmas. You get this like folder full of documentation, right? And you're like, wow, what is all of this? But obviously, our job is to corroborate all of that, right? To make sure that the people whose names are on the documents actually sent the documents. You know, talk with people, build some trust with sources. That took us months. In our reporting, we had to, you know, see if we could talk with folks who may have witnessed this alleged harassment. And, you know, Daryl, keep in mind, obviously, that police can be some of the most reluctant sources to open up. But as we continued our reporting, several of them went on record, including, you know, Chief Callahan himself, who we heard earlier. Through that process of reporting, that's actually how we found out that the city of Revere mandates the police chief be hired from within the department. So like from there, we broadened out the scope of the story to see where else is this happening in Massachusetts. And it's interesting because this mandate stays in place no matter what, like even if serious allegations of misconduct like harassment are made against the candidate. So to some extent, the mayor's hands in a place like Revere are kind of tied when they set out to hire a new chief.
Damn, that's rough, especially when you're trying to, you know, it seems like this system is kind of built to stay the same, to never change no matter what.
Yeah, what could go wrong, right?
You're right. And so, you know, this is you know, a very interesting story. And your last story as an investigative reporter for WBUR.
It is.
I want to dig in your business a little bit. Can I do that?
Bring it on.
Cooking up next? What's coming up next? What are you doing?
I mean, I would love nothing more than to break the news here on Consider This with Daryl C. Murphy. But I actually am not quite at liberty to share what's exactly next for me yet. But rest assured, I am staying in the Boston area with my work, and I'll still be pitching some ideas to WBUR, hopefully make my way back on to Consider This once or twice. And
hell yeah.
But I'm going to stay in the field of journalism, and I'll be, you know, making phone calls and knocking on doors still.
Sweet. And okay, so you can't say where you're going or what you're doing, but let's take a moment. And can you just kind of reflect a bit on your time at WBUR? Like, take us through your, like, a fond moment or a funny moment, or maybe a time where you got like a juicy tip,
yeah,
you know, and it was just like how you got it and how that made you feel, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I'd spent most of the last 5 years or so of my career before being on the investigative team covering the immigration beat. And that was mostly under the Trump administration. And that was intense for all the obvious reasons. And I can remember getting a phone call one day from a source about, you know, something odd that they were seeing come through their office in terms of notifications that their clients were getting about a legal status and immigration status. And they said, you know, we don't know if it's just here in Boston or if it's happening nationwide or elsewhere. And I was supposed to be hosting an event that evening at City Space. So I was like, you know what? I don't really have time to dig into this right now, but let me put a pin in it. I'll get back to you. And there was something, Daryl, that like that spidey sense that journalists kind of have that like dug at me in my stomach all night on the stage while I was hosting an event. And I'm like, I think this is something. So I go back and I start making some calls and I look over the emails again. Long story short, that turned into this national story that we broke at WBUR about the Trump administration really quietly and secretly trying to end a humanitarian immigration status for really medically severe cases, people who are in the country trying to get medical treatment. And that was happening in Boston and elsewhere. And so I often think about those gut check moments and how they can lead to some really big impact. So I think that's one that always sticks with me.
Mm. You can never go wrong when you trust your gut.
It's true.
Well, Shannon, this has truly been a pleasure. Best of luck to you in your future endeavors, and absolutely please come back.
Thank you so much, Daryl. I can't wait to see you again soon.
That's WBUR investigative reporter Shannon Dooling. And that's all for today. This episode was produced by Wilder Fleming with sound design from Matt Reed. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Hey, so a lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR's up first in the morning, but a lot of the actual news happens in the middle of the day. And the team bringing the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR show Here and Now. And yes, there is a podcast version. So, want more of the best news reporting from public radio around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast, wherever you listen. Just search Here and Now.